This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 168 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's a new week, which means we've got a new set of transactions to run through. But before we dig in, I wanted to let you guys know that FanDuel has more ways to win this season, and one of those ways is through the new free-to-enter Gridiron Pick'em. Just choose the winning teams for all of Sunday's games, and that's with no spreads, and compete for a chance to win $10,000 split amongst all the top pickers. $10,000 is up for grabs for free every week, so be sure to head over to FanDuel.com and check it out. Sell Kareem Hunt. So you can look at Kareem Hunt's current fantasy football situation in two ways. On one hand, he's part of the best offense in football. On the other hand, Keith Smith, who's a fullback, has out-targeted Kareem Hunt. Let's start off by looking at the positives. The Chiefs have now scored 15 offensive touchdowns this season, which is the most in the league. They've been one of the top teams in yards per drive, and they're scoring points on an NFL high 58.6% of their drives. Patrick Mahomes is an animal. The Chiefs are amazing. Even if we assume the Chiefs' offense will end up as the best one of all time, there will still be some regression with how they're scoring touchdowns. This isn't about Patrick Mahomes' regression here. This is about how they're scoring touchdowns, via the pass or via the ground. In their three games, they've posted 13 passing touchdowns to just two rushing scores. That's a 6.5 passing to rushing touchdown ratio. Now, over the past 7 years, only seven teams have finished a season with that type of ratio. And of those seven teams, the average touchdown scored offensively was just 35.9, and none of them scored more than five rushing touchdowns. So what that means is that those ratios were so large because the offenses just weren't very good. The fewer the touchdowns scored, the more likely we see weird splits in how those touchdowns are scored. There's just less of a sample. That's not Kansas City. That's not what's going on with the Chiefs. The Chiefs aren't some ordinary below average offense. If they maintain this rate, then they'll not only be making serious history with the sheer number of touchdowns being scored, but they'll also be an outlier with how those touchdowns are being scored. That's not something that you want to bank on. And that's all good for Kareem Hunt. If Kansas City even maintains 80% of what they're doing offensively moving forward, then Hunt should see plenty of opportunity at the goal line. He should have a lot of touchdown upside. So you're probably wondering, why the hell should I be selling Kareem Hunt right now? And the answer to that is usage. As I said at the start, Kareem Hunt currently has three targets. He has a 3.2% target share in the Chiefs offense. Running back teammate Spencer Ware has six targets through the air, while Damian Williams also has three. Now, Kareem Hunt also played just 61.8% of Kansas City snaps in week three. That's a season low. Hunt has seen about 65% of Kansas City's rushes, but that type of rushing share combined with such a low target share isn't anything special for a mid-range RB1, depending on how you're viewing him. And considering that targets are 2 to 3 times as valuable as attempts in PPR formats at the running back position, that's not what you like to see. You'd like to sacrifice a little bit of a rushing share for an increase in target share, if we're being real here. So what this means is that Kareem Hunt is sort of a touchdown-dependent running back right now. He's a touchdown-dependent asset in fantasy football. Now, he's going to see a lot of opportunities because of the offense that he's in, but that's what Kareem Hunt has been through 3 weeks. And that's a little scary if this keeps up. And why wouldn't it keep up? Why wouldn't they continue to use their running backs the way that they're using them? They're pacing to be the most historic offense of all time. Why would they change things up all of a sudden? Kareem Hunt is still valuable, don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's as valuable as a lot of people might view him given the offense that he's in. I'm just very, very worried about his work in the passing game. Add Tyler Boyd, drop John Ross. So I mentioned Tyler Boyd on last week's podcast, but he's deserving of another shout-out after his big 132-yard performance against Carolina. Tyler Boyd's now played over 80% of Cincinnati's snaps this season. That's the most of any wide receiver on the Bengals. And somewhat surprisingly, he also leads the team in deep ball targets. He has 8, while AJ Green has 5, and John Ross has 4. And there's not a ton of scary matchups on the Cincinnati schedule. I mentioned that last week as well. So Tyler Boyd can continue to produce. He needs to be added off the waiver wire. And all the while, John Ross can be dropped. He has a 57% snap rate and a 6% target share. That's not going to get it done. He's a player who might help the Bengals stretch defenses out, but he can safely be placed on your waiver wire. Add Andy Dalton. So I just teased the schedule component for the Bengals, but it's really legit for the passing attack in the short term. Andy Dalton might end up being a pretty strong option over the next 5 or so weeks. This week, the Bengals will visit a banged-up Falcons defense in a game with the second highest over-under on the slate. Then they'll face Miami at home, Pittsburgh at home, Kansas City on the road, Tampa Bay at home, and then New Orleans at home. The only secondary among that group that's looked good to start the season has been the Dolphins. And while they do have strong pieces, they've also faced the Titans, the Jets, and the Raiders offenses this season. And Dalton himself has been fine in fantasy football to start the year, too. He's thrown multiple touchdowns in each game that he's played. And actually, dating back to when Bill Lazor became the team's offensive coordinator last year, Andy Dalton has now thrown multiple touchdown passes in over 70% of his starts. Let's not pretend that Andy Dalton is not capable, especially with the weapons that he has. So don't overlook Andy Dalton on the waiver wire this week. Buy Odell Beckham. I don't think that the Odell Beckham owner in your league is panicking about his start. But maybe they're not as high as they should be. Because while OBJ hasn't scored yet this year, he's actually been pretty great. He's seen 34 targets, and that equates to a 30.9% target share in the Giants offense. And he's been targeted deep on 8 of those 34 looks, one of the higher numbers in football. And touchdowns should come. He's only seen 3 red zone targets, but the Giants rank in the bottom half of the league in red zone plays run. And he's got 271 receiving yards. Over the last half decade, a player with that many receiving yards has typically scored about 1.6 touchdowns by now. And with Evan Ingram banged up, Beckham could also see an uptick in volume in the short term. Or, at the very least, Beckham should be able to come close to maintaining his current target share. Drop Kelvin Benjamin. So I don't think a lot has to be said here. Kelvin Benjamin is still owned in 35% of Yahoo leagues when that number should be far, far lower. He's actually been outsnapped by wide receiver Zay Jones in his own offense, and with 15 targets, he's seeing a little over 17% of Buffalo's targets. In a top offense, that wouldn't be that big of a deal. In one with the growing pains that we're going to see from the Buffalo offense throughout the 2018 season, there's just not a lot of upside for Kelvin Benjamin. Sell Adrian Peterson. I think you guys probably just think that I hate Adrian Peterson. That's not the case. This is the second time that I'm mentioning him this year, but he's not a bad running back in fantasy football. There's just a process that I run through with running backs, and he's being spit back at me consistently as someone that you should sell. And here's the short answer as to why. He's game flow dependent. When Washington beat down on the Cardinals in week 1, Adrian Peterson played 53% of the team's snaps. In week 2, that snap share dropped to 34%. That's because Washington lost to Indianapolis. And then this past week, it rose to about 53% in a win over Green Bay. In Washington's 2 wins, Peterson has seen 22.5 carries and 1.5 targets per game. And their only loss, he had 11 carries and 3 targets. And obviously his snap share dropped as well. Now there's nothing wrong with that type of workload. Peterson can absolutely be an RB2 this season in cumulative points scored. But he also might be a headache. Predicting which games will be an Adrian Peterson game might be difficult. And over the next 2 weeks, they'll be at New Orleans and at home against Carolina. The Saints game could call for more Chris Thompson, while the Panthers game is just somewhat of a difficult matchup. So overall, I wouldn't say that this is a transaction that's an absolute must. Peterson should be fine this year because Washington is not some complete dumpster fire. But he may be unpredictable week to week. Add Antonio Callaway. So with Baker Mayfield, the GOAT, starting for Cleveland, the whole offense should get a boost. And that definitely includes rookie Antonio Callaway. He's now played 80.6 and 89.6% of the Browns' offensive snaps over the last 2 games. You might look at his stat line and not be very encouraged. He only had 4 catches and 20 yards in week 3. But he saw 10 targets in that contest, which is good for a 27% target share, and he led the team with 185 air yards. That's according to airyards.com. He's clearly the team's number 2 wideout, and he's got big play capability. Sell Royce Freeman. So on Sunday, Royce Freeman played 42.6% of Denver's offensive snaps, which was a season high for any Broncos running back. But unfortunately, it wasn't exactly because of his effective play. In the second quarter against Baltimore, Phillip Lindsay decided to throw a punch, and Phillip Lindsay got ejected. And that left the Denver Broncos backfield to Royce Freeman and Devontae Booker. Now, Freeman did score a touchdown early in that contest, but like I just talked about with Adrian Peterson and even Kareem Hunt, he hasn't been heavily involved in the passing game. He has 2 targets in 3 games, and he absolutely runs the risk of just being game scripted out of contests. So really, you're in a situation right now where he's a perfect sell candidate. Phillip Lindsay got ejected, so Royce Freeman's volume rose. He saw the field more, and he also scored a touchdown. And this is all pretty unfortunate because, in my opinion, I do think that Royce Freeman is a very, very talented running back. By Julian Edelman. So many of you guys hit me up on Twitter asking me what to do with Chris Hogan, because Chris Hogan has been awful in fantasy football to start the year. But here's the thing, guys. The entire New England Patriots offense has also been bad. In two games this season, aside from maybe James White, they've been pretty bad for fantasy football purposes. You know, a big reason that you and I drafted pieces to this Patriots offense last month was because of efficiency. A wide receiver or a running back typically doesn't have to see much work on the Patriots in order to produce in fantasy football because the Patriots are so effective at scoring. But they aren't this season. New England ranks in the bottom 10 in yards per drive, and they're scoring a touchdown on 18.2% of their drives. That's down from 2017's 29.7% rate. And that's hurt every single person in that offense. Now, the hope is that things change for the Patriots with their added weapons. They traded for Josh Gordon last week, and we know that he can stretch the field. And then there's Julian Edelman. He's going to return to the lineup in 2 weeks, providing an additional pass catcher in the slot. Those two could potentially be really big boosts for this offense. And that's an offense that had only 3 wide receivers active for their game on Sunday night. You can't be effective with that type of personnel. So just given how things have progressed, I think that Julian Edelman could see volume right away, and a lot of it. The last time he was active for New England, he had a near 29% target share in that Patriots offense. Buying that kind of upside is never a bad idea, especially when Julian Edelman's owner could be nervous about the entirety of the New England offense right now. Buy Kerryon Johnson. So I'll be honest with you guys, I don't fully trust the Lions coaching staff to utilize Kerryon Johnson in a fantasy-friendly way. They haven't called a goal line rush this year, but we probably know that LeGarrette Blunt's going to get the call when they're at the goal line. He has 4 red zone attempts to Kerryon Johnson's 1 this season, and within the 10-yard line, he has 2 to Kerryon Johnson's 1. As it stands right now, LeGarrette Blunt is probably the goal line guy for the Detroit Lions. And then there's also Theo Riddick. The Lions have been very, very pass-friendly to start the season, but Theo Riddick's 22 targets still represents over a 15% target share in that offense. Plain and simple, he's capping Kerryon Johnson's receiving upside. That's especially true in negative game scripts. Kerryon Johnson has just been this do-it-all guy for them this year. That was to be expected. He's seen a little over 8% of Detroit's targets, about 44% of the team's carries, and he's playing about 45% of Detroit's snaps over the last 2 weeks. That's fine, but it's not great. So you're probably wondering, why should you be buying Kerryon Johnson? Well, plain and simple, he's the best running back in that Detroit backfield. According to NumberFire's expected points model, he has a 51.7% success rate. That's the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back. That's also far superior than LeGarrette Blunt's 25% rate. So logically, and I'm trying to think rationally here, it just doesn't make a ton of sense for the Lions to keep rolling LeGarrette Blunt onto the field. And considering Johnson's still being utilized a bit in the passing game, an 8% target share isn't that bad for a running back. There's upside for him to be a legitimate RB2 this season. Now, the problem, and this is the same problem that we run into with running backs all the time, is that talent may only take him so far. Coaches don't always think rationally. And my opinion on a player is not always the same as what a coach thinks. So if Detroit's coaches don't want him on the field more, then he won't become anything more from a fantasy perspective. But if they're smart about it, in my opinion, this could be the start of Kerryon Johnson's rise. So I would shoot off some trade offers this week in an attempt to get rid of some depth for Kerryon Johnson. Buy David Njoku. So as I just talked about with Antonio Callaway, Baker Mayfield being named starter for Cleveland is big news for the entire team's passing attack. Now, he only targeted David Njoku twice in Cleveland's win over the Jets on Thursday, but according to Pro Football Focus, only 4 tight ends have run more routes than David Njoku has this season. His sub-15% target share is a little bit worrisome, but you've got to think that things stabilize a bit when you consider the number of routes that he's run and how talented David Njoku is. The tight end position is awful. But David Njoku at least offers some upside. Hold Matt Breida. After hearing the Jimmy G news, your instinct may be to sell off San Francisco running backs. And if you haven't heard, Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. But I think that Matt Breida still might be worthwhile. CJ Beathard, if you don't know, he's the new starter in San Francisco now that Jimmy G is out. And last season, Beathard ended up targeting running backs on 36.4% of his throws. While C.J. Beathard was under center, Carlos Hyde, who was the team's starting running back last year, saw 50 targets of his 88 season-long targets. Carlos Hyde averaged 8.3 targets per game with C.J. Beathard and 3.8 without him. So with Matt Breida, and Kyle Juszczyk too, if we're being honest, with Matt Breida playing as the primary pass-catching back in that team's offense, I still think he holds plenty of PPR value even without Jimmy G. Add Nyheim Hines. Marlon Mack cannot stay healthy, and it's giving the Colts rookie running backs an opportunity in that offense. Now, in week one without Marlon Mack, Jordan Wilkins handled 14 of a possible 21 running back carries, while Nyheim Hines saw 5 attempts and 9 targets. In that game, Jordan Wilkins played 56% of Indy's snaps, while Nyheim Hines played 45% of them. Now, if you look at what happened this past Sunday, things were different. Hines ended up seeing the field on almost 73% of the Colts' offensive plays, while Jordan Wilkins, he had a snap rate of 28.8%. Nyheim Hines ran the ball just one fewer times than Jordan Wilkins, but he saw 5 targets to Wilkins too. We know that Nyheim Hines is a capable pass catcher. That's what he did in college. But on the season, here in the pros, he's added 0.04 more expected points than Wilkins has on the ground per rush, and his success rate is 2.5% better. For all intents and purposes, he's been the most effective runner in the Colts' backfield this year. And maybe the Colts are seeing this as well. That's the reason that he saw an increase in snap rate, despite the game seeing somewhat of a similar script as what the team saw in week one against Cincinnati. Add Baker Mayfield. So if I'm going to target Baker Mayfield's pass catchers throughout this week's podcast, I've got to be targeting Baker Mayfield too. At an absolute minimum, Mayfield is a solid streamer in week four. Oakland's defense has been beatable this year. They've surrendered over 19 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And that's while facing Case Keenum and Ryan Tannehill in two of their three matchups. We've got a limited sample of Baker Mayfield, but his 50% success rate from week three is really, really encouraging. He's got good weapons, he's in a plus matchup, and he's a talented prospect. You can stream him this week, and you might be able to use him longer term as well. Add the Green Bay Packers defense. So the Packers defense is available in over 70% of Yahoo leagues, and they'll be at home in week four to face the Bills. The matchup this past week didn't work out very well for the Vikings, but they were also dealt an awful hand by their own offense. The Vikings offense just kept turning the ball over. The Bills' average drive started on their own 40-yard line in that game. Green Bay is a 10-point favorite against a rookie quarterback, albeit one who's playing better than I thought, who's got some of the worst weapons in football. Just because Minnesota couldn't take advantage of the Bills doesn't mean the Packers won't. This week's 16th transaction that you can't get in my 15 transactions column over on numberfire.com is to sell Marshawn Lynch. It really follows what I've been talking about all podcast long. I'm not a fan of running backs who are game script and touchdown dependent. With Marshawn Lynch, he's played 37%, 63%, and 55% of Oakland snaps in his three games this year. That coincides directly to when Oakland's either seen a lead or been in games versus when they've been blown out. He's at least seen 6 targets, which could be a lot worse, but he's also buoyed his fantasy totals by scoring in each game this season. He has a touchdown in every game. He has 170 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Traditionally, a player with 170 rushing yards would be expected to have just a little over 1 rushing touchdown. I love Marshawn Lynch, and I do think he's sort of in that Adrian Peterson boat where he can still be an RB2. He absolutely can be an RB2. But as the touchdowns regress, he'll become more unpredictable. I just wish that the Raiders would use him more consistently. That's it for this week's 15 Transactions show. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week for the matchup show.